Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Victory Wednesday. How could I be better?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that really was about as necessary a win as you're going to find in a football season. I don't know. The town has calmed down a little. I think the fact that they were in danger, had they lost that game, of opening 1-3 after being 0-4 a year ago, 1-3 the year before that, it was something you needed to just show progress, to kind of give a hint you're heading in the right direction. I think the young quarterback, I think he will be better in 4 more weeks than he was at the start of the season. I think he will move forward in that fashion. I know that it's, you know, it's like recovery. You kind of take these steps. You don't really, it's not a day-to-day, game-to-game improvement. But we're seeing him making better decisions, and I thought he played well in that game.
Yeah, no question. I think from a team-wide perspective, you're right that the psychological damage of falling to 1-3 would have been far greater than the confidence boost of improving to 2-2 was. But you got a calming win. You got a chance to reset. You've got the wind at your back going into another home game this weekend against an inferior opponent that you should beat. And I think you're seeing strides throughout the month of September from Caleb in his ability to understand what he's seeing, to react to it more quickly, to be able to take a profit with the checkdowns, and then to make a few big throws when you need him to make a few big throws, a touchdown pass to DJ, obviously one of them over the weekend, as well as that shot play to Cole Kmet down the middle right before DeAndre Swift's big touchdown run. And so you're seeing the growth, and you're seeing the flashes, and that's really what you want to see at this point.
Are we done talking about communication to the point where we can start focusing on execution?
No, I think this communication conversation is going to be ongoing. And look, when Shane Waldron was hired, David, one of the biggest pluses on his scouting report was that he has the ability to adapt. That's what people around the league said. That's what people inside the Bears organization propped him up as. So now you have to continue to evolve and adapt as the season goes along and find an offensive identity that works not only for you, but more so for your players. And I applaud the players for not just sitting back and going, well, this isn't going well, but being proactive and being very vocal with their concerns about what was going wrong and what needed to change. They were successful in the troubleshooting efforts in week 4. It's not a 1 week league. You know, you have to move on to week 5 and find a formula that works for you again this week and continue to build momentum going forward rather than constantly reinventing. Hopefully there's only one of those major communication, episodes, but I think it's going to be ongoing all year.
You know, we talked a little bit about Mercedes Lewis, and you obviously can appreciate the length of a guy's career, the fact that he's done it for as long as he has. And I'm not getting down on him in any way, but I don't know about this whole leadership thing. I don't know that he covered himself in glory by kind of revealing everything he revealed. And the other element to me is he is the third tight end, and he is a blocking specialist, and they have used him. I believe it is something like 59 snaps on the season. That's not even a full game necessarily, and that's 4 weeks. And yeah, he's the guy that's kind of leaking all this stuff out. And then they kind of honor him in the post game because of the great achievement of continuing to play. I just don't know how to feel about him.
Well, I'll tell you this, that when they brought him back for a second year after seeing what he did in his first year here in Chicago, it was with the belief that he would be a steadying force inside the locker room. That's his primary value to this football team. There's obviously still things he can do as a blocking tight end in your offense, but you're not going to get high volume out of him at this stage. And so the biggest plus for Mercedes Lewis right now is the opportunity to be a guy that is respected inside the locker room, that has a professional approach that other guys can both emulate and respond to, and then to have a voice that not only the players but the coaches respect. And so that's part of the experience here with Mercedes Lewis. You can go either way with what happened last week. I do give this team credit again for not sitting back and just going, oh God, here we go again, but saying, wait a second, no, we're not going to do this. And some of the most important voices in that room are those captains. It's Byard, it's Mercedes, it's Cole Kmet, it's Jalen Johnson. I think all those guys were very vocal last week in a way that was productive. And that's really what you want is productive leadership as opposed to some of the things that we've all experienced in this town, where it starts to go a little bit south, and then people start taking shots and calling other people out and yelling at kickers in the locker room after games and things of that nature.
So Wednesday, you start looking ahead at the next opponent, and certainly Andy Dalton and the Panthers come in. I wonder, from a Bears defensive perspective, and maybe from your own perspective, what's the right level of respect to show Andy Dalton, and what do you think the approach will be in coming after him?
Yeah, so I had my good buddy Joe Person from The Athletic on the Take the North podcast this week to talk about things from Carolina, and he just really believes that Dalton has come in and run Dave Canales' offense the way it's supposed to be run, and in a very stark contrast to what was happening with Bryce Young in the first two games of the season. And so what you have is a guy that just, you know, he's got the veteran experience to understand what he's seeing. He's not going to be tricked easily. He's not going to give you a lot of freebies like a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson would. And so you just have to be you, you know, as a defense, the, not to borrow a term from Matt Nagy there, be you. But this defense has been really good. It's 10 straight games holding an opponent to 21 points or fewer. They're, you know, still giving up a few too many chunk plays for their own liking, but they're keeping you in position to win games every week. And so you just have to understand who Andy is and how hard he is going to be to trick. But then if you play up to your potential, you should be fine, particularly with how the Panthers defense is on the other side, where you should have a very favorable matchup offensively to take advantage of a lot of things.
Dan, we talked to Coach Wannstedt yesterday, and he said something that has kind of rang in my ears since. He was talking about Deontay Smith and Swift, and he was saying that that DeAndre Swift is a guy that he is not, in his opinion, a between the tackles running back, and that he goes down too easily with first contact. And he said that there are times when he gets the ball and he thinks that either the other two running backs would get twice as many yards. If he gets two, they'd have gotten four, that kind of thing in terms of interior running. Now, he had that big explosive run. He had a big game. He had a nice game catching the ball. He had seven catches. He had a high percentage of their offensive production, and I thought that was great. But is it a breakthrough? Is that something now we're going to see him kind of teetering on the edge of 100 every game in terms of rushing, or do they need to keep doing what they were doing and spreading the ball amongst that group?
Well, look, it got up to, I think, 163 when you add in the receiving yards the other day. And so one of the reasons DeAndre Swift's here is because he gives you something as both a runner and as a passer. He's not going to be your traditional old school downhill runner, but if you can get him into some creases in the outside zone running game and the inside zone running game, and allow him to understand what patience means to this running attack, to waiting for a hole to develop, and then when it's there, hitting it, you're going to get some production. Now, they took advantage of a very poor Rams defense last week. They get another bottom five run defense coming into Soldier Field this week with the Panthers, who, oh, by the way, don't rush the passer well. They don't have Brian Burns anymore. They have Derek Brown and Shaq Thompson on injured reserve. You've got a very vulnerable Panthers defense that you should be able to take the wind at your back from Sunday's win over the Rams and continue to push forward. And that goes for DeAndre Swift. It goes for the offense as a whole. I think they were able to do some things again with him, not only as a runner in Sunday's game, but getting him out in pattern to where he's a very good check down option for Caleb Williams. And then a couple of screens hit the other day, including the 27 yarder. That was a big loosener for the offense, getting them a little bit of confidence, getting them going a little bit. And so that versatility by Swift is very valuable.
This segment with Dan Wiederer brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything would be, should be. Visit timbertech.com. So, Dan, what kind of step do you expect to see from Caleb Williams this week? And what is reasonable to expect given the comfort level he began to show last Sunday?
Yeah, no, you're just still looking for steady progress. And I've kind of put the ultimatum on him, so to speak, of having one play per quarter where you go, okay, that's why you were picked number one overall. And there were a few of them over the weekend. Again, I can't say enough about that 22-yard throw he made to Cole Kmet, the dart over the middle right before Swift's touchdown run, because it was not only, as Cole Kmet defined it, NFL open throw, but it was a guy in the fourth quarter you know, trying to pad a 2-point lead, who found the right balance of being aggressive and staying in attack mode without putting the football in harm's way. And so that's a huge step for a young quarterback, is understanding how to do that, to not get so conservative with the lead that you forget that you have gifts that will add to that lead. They were able to do it in that moment. You go back and you show that on film. You say, look at this throw. You recognize that the linebacker was flat-footed as he bit on the play fake. You saw a window that some quarterbacks in this league would not take, and you trusted your arm to make a throw there to Cole Kmet. Cole makes a really nice play on the ball. It's 22 yards. And the next play, you added another explosive on top of that, and you're in the end zone. Those are huge growth moments for a quarterback. And so I want to see more of those. Again, one per quarter where there's a flash where you go, that guy is special. And then continually understanding what it takes to win at this level, which, as you guys know, one of the prerequisites is taking care of the football in many, many moments.
Jervon Dexter has done pretty well for himself. He's got some sacks, and he's been influential thus far. He is a guy that is turning 23 on Saturday. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, for a young guy, he's really having a pretty good breakout himself this year.
Yeah, great push forward from him. And we heard all throughout the offseason about the things he had done to his body and the dedication he had put into improving himself as a football player. And you're always waiting for the first month of the season to see it play out and take that prove it test. Dexter has certainly proved it through the first month. You want to continue to see that grow because that's just another element to add to your defense, which is already really, really good. And I'm sure you guys agree with this. There's that closing mentality that the Bears had on Sunday is something they have to take forward. It's that complimentary football of, if you're not going to score to add to your lead, well, then at least use a punter to pin the other team down deep, and then trust your defense to go out there and make a play. And the confidence that defense had, even with the ball in Matthew Stafford's hands at the end of that game, that they were going to get things done, and then to get it done on the first play of the final drive, it tells you a little something about where that group is headed and how they're wired right now.
Great stuff, Dan.
Appreciate it, Dan.
All right, enjoy the week, fellas.
You too.
That is Dan Weiderer.